So you ready to do this? All right, let's roll with the new.
It's time for the most insightful wrestling show today. Wrestling Weekly is on the air.
Are we ready?
I'm very excited.
Please join us in the chat room at WrestlingWeekly.com to submit questions for tonight's guests.
Hello, this is Mick Foley, and you are listening to Doc Young.
He is my friend.
And the inimitable Les Thatcher.
He's a legend. He's one of the greatest of all time.
You're listening to Wrestling Weekly.
The most dominant force in this business today.
And it all starts tonight.
Yeah.
We're the stars of this piece of...
And now, your host for Wrestling Weekly, Doc Young and legendary Les Thatcher.
Doc Young and Les Thatcher here with you on Wrestling Weekly. Welcome, guys. March 27th today. We've got Sean Oliver from...
Very good. It is March 27th. Well, that's starts the... And there's no technical problems.
No technical problems.
Wait, let me hang up and call back because I think I'm on the wrong show.
See, Les, I actually checked everything beforehand. But...
Hey, that's clever.
Yes.
That's don't be professional, Doc. It'll scare the hell out of me. It really will.
It is.
Yeah, it is scary to you too, right?
It's I'm freaked out by myself, and I'm proud.
There was a kid that did local public access radio station did a show here, and I went in and did it with him a few times. It was on Wednesdays, and he used to freak me out. He would show up 5 minutes before we went on the air. I mean, I was always when I had a live show here, I was in the studio at least an hour before airtime, just to be sure I had my ducks in a row. Yeah, but he would show. I've seen him walk in, throw the headsets on, sit down, turn, and go, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, okay, whatever. I just, you know, it's called preparation.
Right.
It fits with the word logic, but and I professionalism.
That just seems to be the part. I have adult ADD or something. Like, I sit here and gather the news and format the show, and then, like, the one thing I forget is to check the equipment.
Well, see, it's because you do it all.
It probably is. We need more people here.
Right.
Definitely, definitely.
Go out and do like the rest of the independent industry does. Go out and grab somebody off the street.
And bring them in.
And just give them a title.
Right.
Tell them, do you want them to be a heel fan?
We've got Sean Oliver from KayfabeCommentaries.com. He's going to be on the show tonight. And this is a really cool little gimmick type thing that he's come up with.
Yeah, it is, and I want to ask him where they got the idea. You know, because you know the funny thing is, I'm always trying to think of things, and I always talk about being creative, and I even actually try to be creative myself on occasion. But this is something never crossed my mind. But then once I listened to the CD, and I thought, yeah, well, it kind of makes sense. My politically correct friend Honky Tonk Man's on there. It's rather the one I want to ask him about Johnny Valentine or Bill Frazier. I know we broke into business about the same time. He's from Indiana, by the way.
Yes.
So the match had to be in Indiana.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I thought, my God, where would they come up with that match?
You know? Yeah.
I mean, anyway, but whatever.
It's cool stuff, and you can check it out at kayfabecommentaries.com. We're going to have Sean on later and really delve into this and explain all this stuff that. A new concept, and pretty creative. I like it. Let's get to some news. You know, of course, Les, the big news is Joey Mercury was released before Raw yesterday in Chicago.
I feel bad about it. I Joey Matthews, Joey Mercury, whatever you want to call it. I like the kid. He's a hard worker. You know, he carried the team. Nitro's coming to his own. There's no two ways about it.
Right.
Until I heard some of this, and I say the details, and I'm not sure I know the details, right?
Mm-hmm.
But the best I can say, and is that I guess when officials in the company saw Joey at catering yesterday, when they said immediate release, that was pretty much the standard, you know. So I guess he's still got some personal issues. I don't know all the details, but. I mean, he's a good kid. I've known him for several years. He's a hard worker. And like I say, he carried that team.
Yeah.
He made that team. But, before I heard anything, I thought, well, that sucks, you know. But
yeah.
They're doing what's best for business, and that's what, I don't care what the name of the company is, that's what the companies have to do.
Yeah, even if that's even true, and there are some ridiculous rumors going around the internet ever since yesterday.
Somebody told me that. What are those rumors? Since I don't go out and live on the internet,
right?
No offense to the people I'm on the show with or the people listening, but I don't live and die on the internet. Go ahead.
Right. First of all, let me preface by saying these are all rumors. We don't know the exact truth right now.
Right.
One of the things that people are saying is that he flunked the wellness policy, of course.
He's what?
That he failed the wellness policy test.
Well, in catering, I doubt it. I really doubt that unless they had him regurgitate and checked his food content. No, that's probably, well, you know, here's what is no secret. Joey was in rehab while back, you know.
Last May.
Yeah. And whether that's, this is something he's, well, I don't know how else to say it, but he's fallen off the wagon or something. That's from basically, that was the indication that I got. Again, you know, God didn't come down and give me that, so I can't swear to it either. But go ahead. What are these other rumors?
The other rumor is what you said. They saw him catering yesterday, that he was in no shape to perform, and they just had enough. They got rid of him.
Well, that you know, and I've seen one of the kids that I trained, and this has been a couple years, number of years ago, was in for a dark match, and he saw, and I won't name who, but anyway, he saw one of the guys come in, and he said he was talking to the wrestler he was going to work with, and he was looking past. I just looked past him and saw this guy who was a pretty prominent name in the business at the time, and he said Les, I could tell from a distance that he was just, my God, he said he was out of it, you know, on what he didn't know, but he said I just lost concentration. The guy I was talking to, but anyway, here, I don't want to live anybody's life. What you do behind closed doors at home is your business.
Mm-hmm.
What you do when you come to my business is my business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's I'm going to tell you the truth. I have told guys, last week we were talking about steroids. I don't advocate them. I don't sell them. I don't use them. But what you do is your business. Now, if I walk by your bag in my dressing room, and I say, I've managed some weight rooms in my time. That was also one of my credos there. Listen, if I see them in your bag, you and the bag are out.
Right.
I don't need problems with the federal government. What you do with it, you know, what you do at home is none of my business.
Right.
As long as it doesn't affect me or my family. And so on. And I'm the same, you know, with alcohol or whether you're smoking grass or if you're popping pills, do I think that's great? No, I absolutely do not. Am I advocating it? No. But again, if you come into my dressing room and I smell alcohol on your breath, then you're going to leave my dressing room.
Mm-hmm.
It's that simple. That's totally unprofessional.
Here's the third story, and this is the one that cracks me up, and it's completely ridiculous, is that Joey Mercury attacked Stephanie McMahon yesterday. The story goes,
I'm laughing. It's probably not funny, but it is funny.
The story goes that they're in the they're having a pre-show meeting, and Joey Mercury is told he's not wrestling at WrestleMania. Joey gets enraged, charges Stephanie, and bounces her off the desk. Basically, he's kicked out, fired. Stephanie's in the hospital to get checked out and all this stuff.
God.
Now,
yeah,
if this
let
was...
Me say, let me say this very quickly, and I don't run backstage at WWE, but I cannot imagine. I mean, if there was a meeting, here's the thing. If you're at WrestleMania, you know you're at WrestleMania, you're involved in something in one shape or form. You've already seen your booking schedule, you know you're doing Detroit.
Right.
Tomorrow or Thursday, I guess. Point is, Stephanie would in no way, shape, or form take it upon herself to tell you that. I mean, even if it were Steve Austin, if it were The Rock, and I don't mean that in a demeaning manner toward Joey, but it's, you know, if it were short of being her husband, I can't imagine why she'd be telling anybody they were or were not there.
Right.
You know, and at this point, this late in the game, I'm pretty much sure he's aware he's not there.
Right. And do you think that if Joey Mercury attacks Stephanie McMahon in front of creative and everybody, that Stephanie would be the one in the hospital and not Joey?
Well, that I, you know, I can't say there wouldn't be. It depend on, I guess, on who saw it. But it just seems so. That's too bizarre.
I know.
That is definitely an internet rumor.
And that is definitely something a fan made up.
As only an internet rumor. Yeah. Speaking of drug, who's going to drug test the person that came up with that story?
Who knows?
But anyway, I you know, Joey's put a lot into that team. He carried the team for a long time, until Nitro. You know, until Nitro did. You know, got his stuff together, working wise, and he's come along. Nitro's come a long way in the last year. I just hate to see Joe. You know, but
the last few years, I guess a lot of people have short term memories and they don't remember when Nitro was Eric Bischoff's, I guess, yeah. Coachman, basically.
Well, what I'm saying is, you know, he, I just since the M&M team came up, I've seen improvement.
Yeah, he's improved in his wrestling dramatically. But, you know, to have to say it, I still think Joey's the better worker.
Well, he's more experienced. He doesn't have the size, obviously. But, yeah, Joey's been around a while. He was in the system a couple times. And, again, I feel bad for him, you know. But if what has happened is what we said here first about the catering thing and then he was in the wrong, you know, mm-hmm. and sadly enough, and hopefully, you know, for all the, people that think Vince has horns, Vince has several sides and maybe if he gets his act together, it gets straightened up and whatever, maybe there's a chance for him coming back.
Yeah.
I hope anyway. There,
I, you know, you never say never. And I think with WWE, the door is always open. If the situation is correct, or yeah. It's good for them.
Well, they've
taken back people I thought they would never take back. You know, and I think the door is always open if the situation
is
right.
That's happened across the years that I've been in the business. I mean, it comes down to pretty much, you know, a lot of I've heard promoters say, "I'll never use that guy again," and of course they do
right.
if necessity comes up. But
it's business.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I wish him well, and if he's got problems, I hope he gets, you know, gets him straightened out and gets his act together and comes back and does his thing.
Definitely. Speaking of, you know, wellness policy and things like that, Edge and Gregory Shane Helms have responded to the Sports Illustrated story that named them as part of this big steroid scandal. Both of them basically almost gave the same answer. they both had injuries. They were both prescribed this medication. In Edge's case, it was human growth hormones, and they make no apologies for it, really.
Well, you know what? We were pretty covered this pretty extensively last week. I think,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's right, wrong, or indifferent. It's done. It's over. You can't revert. You know, you can't take it back, as it were. It's so. You know, whether they. You know, whether it was injuries, whether it wasn't, again, like I said last week, I I'm not going to judge these people. I just think sometimes to start making public statements, especially, well, you know, if you understand the nature of the beast, if you understand what the chemicals are and what they do and this and that. And the other thing, which Brian Alvarez said last week something about, you know, the one is an animal steroid.
Mm-hmm.
And no doctor in their right mind is prescribing animal horse steroids for human beings.
Right.
Unless there is a reason other than it's not for injury. You know?
Right.
So, you know, again, it comes back to wink, wink, wink. But it's just sometimes maybe it's best to leave things unsaid. It's done. What's done, you know, and just say, yeah, I did it. I shouldn't have, and it's over. Now, I haven't seen, looking at, you know, just I was looking at Adam the other night before this story came out, and I thought, boy, Adam hasn't seen a gym in a while. I'm, you know, and I don't mean because he's not rock hard or because he's not ripped and vascular as he used to be, because a lot of that is, I mean, well, again, you know, I've been around bodybuilding, I've been around gyms, and there's a difference between a guy just being in shape and a guy being on the juice.
Right.
And it's a different kind of muscularity. It's a different kind of vascularity. So anyway, it's obvious that if he's on, if he's buying, and you, it's bogus. It ain't worth a damn.
Right, and he admitted in his MySpace he ain't seen a gym in a long time.
Yeah, well, see, I don't do MySpace, but anyway, yeah. Well, he hasn't. Yeah, I'll back him there without failure. You know, no, but you know, and this, like I say, it's over and it's done with. Just leave it.
Yeah, and
other than making, yeah, you know, to me that's the statement. Yes, I did it.
And let's put it into perspective. This was at least 3 years ago.
And again, like I said last week, you know, and if you're not here again, I'm Charlie Chan, and I have been a fan for 9,000 years, and I read all the internets, and I read all the sheets, which means I know everything about the business. No, Charlie, you really don't.
Right.
If you haven't taken a bump, if you haven't been there, done that, then no, you don't know.
Are you sure his name's Charlie and not Mark?
I don't know. Whatever his name is, but anyway, I'm just making a character. But I mean, that's the point. No,
right,
nobody knows unless you've been there. So you can't explain it. I mean, you can, but the vast majority of people won't understand. They're going to still draw their own conclusions anyway. So
exactly.
Just say, yeah, you know, they caught me in my hand in a cookie jar. Okay, cool. I'm not doing it now. So it's over and done with. Let's move on.
Right.
You know.
In Hall of Fame news, WWE.com is reporting that Wade Boggs is going to be inducting Mr. Perfect Curt Hennig into the Hall of Fame this year. Larry Hennig, his father, Larry the Axe, was originally supposed to induct Curt. And
we went down this road with Lance Russell and Lawler with me. And,
right.
And I'll stand and say it here. And why would Larry, you know what, and please don't tell me some 19-year-old kid doesn't know who Larry is. I don't really care.
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that Wade Boggs was involved in one of the Mr. Perfect skits. And who would remember that besides probably somebody who produced it, for Christ's sake?
Yeah, not even Wade would probably remember that.
You know, but I mean, here's the point. That takes a little luster off of it. The whole, you know, I understand why Jerry wanted Lance Russell to do it.
Yeah.
I would also understand why, especially with Kurt gone, that it would make sense to have his father do it.
Right.
And it would be, I think, very classy and the whole, I mean, don't get me wrong, I don't know Wade Boggs, and I'm not saying he's not classy. In fact, I thought he was a hell of a baseball player. But
that's baseball.
But it's just, yeah, it's, I'm sorry, it don't feel right to me. I think that, you know, Larry should induct Kurt, and I feel that, you know, Lance, it would have made sense for Lance to do Lawler. And I'll tell you what really made me feel good last night was the ovation that JR got. And the yes?
Yes.
And the buzzing in my ear
went
is
away.
It's not because I'm on drugs or anything. It's because Doc has touched something.
That was an act of God.
Yeah, right. Okay.
I'm sitting here listening to you, and
God
all of a sudden I hear buzzing.
And God now runs audio for Wrestling Weekly. Okay.
he's the co-producer.
We have some high-powered people on this show. I was really blown away with the reception that JR got from the audience, live audience last night.
Definitely deserves it.
Yeah, he's, listen, man, if anybody deserves that recognition, he does. I JR is a personal friend. I will firstly say that, and I'm proud to say that. But more importantly, having worked with him as my boss in talent relations at one time, and also as my co-host on Smoky Mountain, hey, he's a straight-up guy. He's a professional. He comes to his job prepared. He loves the business. It's about what's best for the business and not what's best for Jim Ross or even Vince McMahon, for that matter, you mm-hmm. know? And reading his blogs on the barbecue site is one of my current pleasures, because he strikes home, brother. I mean, no, he does. And I agree with him so much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
On the flip side of that whole Wade Boggs, Curt Hennig thing, Dusty Rhodes' sons, Dustin and Cody, are going to induct them.
Who knows them? Well, I know Dustin as Gold Dust, but the other kid I know because I see the OVW show. Who else knows him?
Yeah, so how come Dusty can have his sons?
Well, you know,
induct
again,
him?
Again, it's about what's going to be, you know, something about Wade Boggs on, I guess because it'll be televised on USA. But you know what?
Entertainment politics.
Well, here's the other part, though. See, if we're saying, well, nobody will know who Larry the Axe is, and it's going to be part of the on-air ceremony. Well, you know what? I imagine there's a few young wrestling fans that don't have a hell of a clue who Wade Boggs is.
Yeah. Hey, that was a long time ago.
Well, it's been a while. I'm a baseball fan, so I know who Wade Boggs is. But
and I was a baseball fan at the time, so
okay.
I know who Wade Boggs is.
Okay, so
does? You're right.
It comes back to the politics of professional wrestling, or politics of entertainment business, I guess. But it doesn't ride well with me. But of course, they didn't ask me, so.
Maybe next year they will.
Who cares?
Check out the Hall of Fame on USA. It's going to be at midnight Eastern on Saturday night.
Yeah, yeah. I finally got my new Playboy in the mail, and I will say, if it hadn't said Ashley on the cover, I wouldn't have known. She had the goofy big combat boots off and the baseball cap, and she actually looks like a very lovely lady without all those goofy trappings, which don't do a thing for her, I don't think, you know, her sexuality or anything else for that matter, at least not for me. But anyway, it's a good, you know, it's a good spread, and it's got a shot of Sable and one of Tori and one of China, and, you know, mentions a little bit about the history of WWE divas with Playboy.
Are there good articles in this issue? Because a lot of people are going to find this shocking, but I have no interest in seeing Ashley.
Yes, I'll find that shocking if no one else does. I'll throw my hand up and say, I find that shocking.
I have no interest.
The interview with Bill Meyer, I love Bill, politically incorrect.
Yes.
So anyway, I haven't had a chance to read it yet. The thing just came a couple days ago. I've scanned through it. And
I have my autographed Playboy of Christy Hemme, and that's about it.
I don't have any autographed Playboys, but over the years I have saved. Well, you know, it used to be a number of years ago, before you were actually probably alive, to have a celebrity, whether it be an actress or whoever, on the cover of Playboy was, you know, was a big deal, but it's not much of a big deal anymore because it happens all the time.
But wasn't Marilyn on the first issue?
Yes, that was, well, yes, but from that point on.
Ah, okay.
It was like just Playmate of the Month or the Year or whatever, but, you know, so anyway.
You're right, and now it does seem to be celebrities now. I mean, almost every month.
Yeah, it's more common, but I used to save the copies with celebrities on the cover because I thought, well, those will be, you know, and maybe they are, will be when I die and my great-grandchildren get it. Maybe they'll be worth something, I don't know. But anyway, yeah,
absolutely.
It's not a big deal anymore. But anyway, she looks very, you know, she looks very good on there. But I was never turned on by her to see her on the air because, like I say, the costuming is not my idea of sexy, so.
It's sort of like a 14-year-old tomboy.
I guess. I don't know. Whatever.
Speaking of divas, ECW diva Rebecca DiPietro was released on Thursday.
You know what? She was one of those nameless women.
Exactly. She is more famous now for being released last week than she ever was.
Well, more apt it was. Looks like and I can't think of her name now, the girl that was Jimmy Yang's...
You know what? I can't remember the name either. I know what you're talking about.
The horrible thing was, you know what? I said to him just a couple weeks. He lives just across the Ohio River here in northern Kentucky from me, and I see him every once in a while. And I said, you know, Jimmy, I can't remember that girl's name who walks you to the ring. And then the next time I saw him, I said, man, I didn't mean for you to go have her fired because I didn't know who she was.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I mean, it's just, you know, they're all. Well, somebody within that company said to me last year, he said, you know, they can hire one surgically enhanced young lady and give her a blonde wig, a black wig, a red wig, and a brunette wig, and nobody will know the difference.
Yeah.
And I'm up with that, too.
Well,
you know, it's just, again, it's a diluted product. It's more entertainment and far, far away from being sports.
It's definitely a diluted
section. Well, you know what? I've heard, and here again, I don't know if it's an internet rumor, just a rumor, but Melena's been, you know, supposedly what she does with Ashley at Mania this weekend will determine her push. And I thought, well, go cut your wrist. Because if that determines your push, then, I mean, listen, the best women workers I know aren't going to take Ashley out there and turn her in to a young, fabulous Mueller or Mae Young.
Right.
It ain't happening, brother. There's not that kind of magic in the air. But then that's, you know, Ashley just is not a, she's not an athlete. I'm sorry.
And it's nothing against Ashley. She just doesn't have the talent.
You know, I played a little high school basketball, but it was not tall enough or good enough to go on past that. So, I mean.
Right.
You know.
Now, what would basketball fans do if they started having, you know, good enough tryouts and a fan gets to play with the team, you know, if they win? how would that get over, you know?
I give up. The one thing I did, I saw last night, it jumped off the page, and I really respect this guy. He's a nice young man. I worked with him some when he was in OVW, and he wrestled up here for me, and I really like the guy. There's no doubt he's got a great work ethic. He's done a lot for the company. But I watched the tag main event last night, and I thought, God, if my friend John Cena never throws another punch, it'll be all right with me. It's horrible. Just horrible.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what you saw there was the two veterans carrying the ball.
Mm-hmm.
The whole match, I mean, it was the timing issue was all Taker and Michaels. They made it work. And that's the end of that.
Right.
All I want to know is this. Sanjaya Malakar, who's on American Idol. What the hell is he still doing on American Idol?
How did we get there?
Stephanie that got cut last week, man. Now you're talking about getting heat with me. No, I mean, the kid's just not that good an entertainer. I don't know what. I don't know if this is America's rib on Simon Cowell or what. I'm not sure.
Does Simon not like the guy either?
Well, you know what? My wife told me she read somewhere or heard somebody on the radio say that some woman is going on a fast until this guy is voted off. And I thought, my God, it's not that. But he is the least talented of the bunch. I mean, he is. And
that sort of puts things into perspective when somebody's going on a fast until somebody gets voted off a TV show.
Yeah, I don't care. You know, it's not big. And I you know, I like this show, and I like Idol, and I like the I like Dancing with the Stars, which I watched last night. Stacy was there. Keebler was on. Yeah, she was at the show. And they, in fact, mentioned her at the end of the show. Our Stacy Keebler is following us here with what is it, All About Brian, or whatever the name of the show is she's on. And,
yeah.
You know, I caught bits and pieces of that with her. She does a real good job, very creditable. I mean, you know, I don't know that she's going to win any Emmys or anything, but, you know, but she's not a bad actress.
Is the show itself good? Because I had never heard of it before.
Obviously it did well. You know, it did okay. I didn't watch from the get-go. And I actually just, when she came on, I watched it a couple of times, you know, DVR'd it, watched it a couple of times because she was on it. But she did a good job, I thought. I see Jeff Jarrett is back in the saddle.
Oh, yeah.
With guitar, and which made me nauseous.
See, it would have been okay if Jeff Jarrett was back in the saddle, sans guitar.
Yes. I'm cool with that. And as a baby face, what the hell is that? I mean, come on. I've said all along, to me, if I want to get, you know, Jeff over solid, if I had the book, first thing I would do would have, when he got that damn NWA belt, he would have come out to the ring with a guitar and the belt. He would have broke the guitar on the ring post and said, that is the end of an era. I'm carrying one of the most prestigious wrestling world titles ever. And the sports entertainment, et cetera, et cetera. You know, I'm just going off the top of my head, so I don't have a promo all prepared here.
Hey, it's good.
but you know, the legacy of this belt, the people who have worn it before me, then I've got to buckle down and be serious, and, you know, hitch up my belt and go to work.
Mm-hmm.
And that would have been a great way to come back as a babyface. But he came back and hit somebody with a guitar. And I thought, okay, what the hell?
Yeah.
Vince, move on, brother. It's whatever.
In other TNA news, this is a lot of gossip, basically, is what it is. And I don't even like to report this, but I mean, I'm reporting it for a reason. A lot of people backstage at TNA are saying that Abyss has been described as being highly insecure by most of the wrestlers. He's said to be notorious for following Dutch Mantel around before...
Dutch Mantel, not Mantel.
Dutch Mantel, excuse me. Before and after TNA events. One story that's been going around for quite some time is that the Eric Young paranoid gimmick is actually based on Abyss's personality backstage, as he's said to be very paranoid early on in his run and was spotted constantly asking if he was going to be fired.
You know what? I've never seen that side of Chris, I can't call him Chris. His mother was on it. Oh, please, don't even start me there. You don't have enough time. We won't even get the guest on if I start about the whole stupid mother gimmick. No, you know, Chris is from around here. Well, originally not from around, but he lives around here now. How I met him is he worked for a friend of mine who I broke into the wrestling business, the promotional end in Knoxville, Bob Polk. He and Ron Fuller, Ron Welch, whatever you want to call him, were owners of Cincinnati Cyclones at one point. And Chris worked for them in the Gardens, Cincinnati Gardens here, in publicity capacity. So he broke in. He did not break in here with me. I've never seen that side of him. So I who knows?
I've spoke to Abyss quite a bit, about wrestling, about not wrestling, and things like that. We used to talk on the phone quite a bit.
Yeah. I saw him. I've seen him at a couple of Ring of Honor shows, and we talk. It doesn't strike me as. Paranoid or
here's what I gathered from speaking to him when I did was that he likes to hear feedback,
right?
And he likes a lot of times he was like, what would you think about that, did you enjoy it, things like that. But I think what's being reported now is a total exaggeration. He likes to hear feedback, and because he cares.
Yeah.
And I think people are making fun of him about that and sort of exaggerating it, because there are so many people back there who don't care.
Right.
That Abyss stands out. That's just my opinion.
Yeah.
On what's going on with it.
You know, one of our listeners, Sylvester, I wish I didn't print the email out. I can't remember the last name. I'm sorry, Sylvester, if you're listening. My apologies. Sent me a link to... a website where Kevin Kelly posts, and he had critiqued TNA and TNA and West and the show in general, and he had some strong good points. And then Sylvester also sent me a link to Bob Ryder's answering to that, and he was, Kevin was pretty blunt with it, but he did make some good points. Then Ryder, of course, saying, well, he's a third string announcer was a third string announcer with WWE and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought, my God, there's all these subplots. But the point is, TNA has been pretty much panned by Meltzer and Alvarez and on, and a lot of the people in the business.
It's been panned by Thatcher quite a bit too.
Yeah. Well, you know what? They're wasting time and effort, money and talent. And not utilizing it to the best of the talent's ability, nor to the the best of anybody's ability. And again, no offense to whoever is on the booking committee, whether that be Jeff and Dutch. And I've worked with Dutch over the years. He's a personal friend. I worked with Jeff's dad. But Cornette's one of the best minds. I know somebody said, "Well, you wouldn't want his old style booking." Excuse me. I don't know what kind of drugs that person was on, but he says, I want his old-style booking, thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take it in a heartbeat. Again, going back, you and I were talking before we went on the air, JR, in one of his blogs, says, no, I don't care if it's 2007 or 1957 or 67, the foundation is business founded on good versus evil, and it's pretty much, I don't know if it's their head of creative or their creative genius or the guy wants to has the talent to save the world and yet decides to destroy it. But anyway, it's just like he wants to change the business. There's no reason for that. I mean, it's just stupid.
Mm-hmm. It's detrimental.
Yeah, it is. Well, it's, and obviously, I wish them well. You've heard me say this how many times. I wish there were six more TNAs out there. I mean, it's, mm-hmm. It's healthy for the business. It's healthy to see. I mean, it gets a lot of guys work. But it's just, they're just, I watch the show and I think, okay, whatever. I mean, I've kind of grown accepting to it, but it's just like, I think, why? It makes no sense to me. Anyway,
it's like watching a drug addict, slowly dying, and you're trying to help them.
I think it's on. what channel is it on? That there's a show called Intervention. You think we can do an intervention for TNA?
That would be great. Dixie's like, "Where's my birthday party?"
Yeah,
and all these people are just standing around.
Whatever. No, it's just honestly, it's a shame.
It is. It really is. And we've been getting a lot of flack. Well, not a lot, but a little bit of flack in the message boards and things like that, for being overly critical of TNA is what they're calling it. And I don't think it's overly critical at all. I think it's critical because.
Who are they?
Oh, it's some listeners of the show.
Okay, well. That's cool. You know what? That's why there's Fords and Chevrolets. We all have opinions.
Mm-hmm.
I base mine on having worked almost a half century in the business.
Mm-hmm.
I'm a fan, but I look at it in a whole different perspective. I said that before.
Right.
And to me, it's utilizing talent to to their utmost potential and the time and everything else. I'm not interested in selling my business, and I say mine because, again, I spent almost a half century in it. I'm not interested in selling my business as a cheap comedy.
Mm-hmm.
And if that upsets somebody, you know what? I hope their blood pressure doesn't get them in trouble with their doctor because it's not going to change.
Right.
I respect the business I'm in. I respect the people that work in it. I do not respect the fact that cheap comedy is a silly way out. It's an easy way out, and it's not a good one.
Mm-hmm.
I give you UFC, which is doing a hell of a job selling their product the way we sold ours 30 years ago. Now, do I please, before that gets on all the internets, go back and say I want to go back 30 years? I do not want to do that. I do not want to do that. It goes back to what JR had mentioned. The basics are still the basics.
Right, and then there's, if you still have the basics there, there's different ways of going about achieving them.
Here's the deal. There's an old saying that I've said this before. We're all hookers. It's a matter of establishing price, and it's just like people in our business. We're all mercenaries. We're all hired guns, right?
Right.
Now, if these people that are saying, let me tell you something, a lot of the people that are on that company's payroll feel the same exact way I do.
Mm-hmm.
But they are being paid to do, and you know what? If they hired me, as much as it may drive me nuts, I'd swallow hard and do what I was asked to do.
Right.
It's not about what I believe unless they're hiring me to be creative. It's about doing the job I'm asked to do. It's a business.
Which is why this show can tell the truth with perspective.
Yes. Yes.
Because
but it comes back to the thing you and I were talking about before you went on the air, logic again. I keep bringing that up, and there's so much of that stuff that's not logical,
Right. Right.
And the whole Abyss Mother thing is just, again, it's hokey.
He's getting buried.
Well, it's here's my question. Why didn't Lovie Smith, the head coach of the Bears, bring Peyton Manning's mother on the field when Peyton was driving for one of those touchdowns?
Right.
When they might have got him just to walk off the field. What do you think Tony Dungy would have said at that point? Peyton, get your dumb ass back on the field. I don't care if it is your mother.
Right.
Because you're being paid to play football.
Right.
See, so to me, to those who are critical of me, I really don't care. Sticks and stones may hurt my bones, but this, but names will never hurt me. Mm-hmm. Again, it's my perspective on the business I have grown up in and worked in all my life. And the idea to me is that we, our job is to try to suspend your disbelief, not to create more disbelief.
Definitely. We've got a lot more TNA news to get to, but we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we've got a former WWE writer, Irish Pete Doyle. He's going to be on for Hot Topic, and we're going to get into some more TNA news. I know everybody's waiting for the WrestleMania breakdown. We're not going to do that tonight because there is a special all-day coverage over at AudioWrestling.com on Sunday, and Wrestling Weekly is going to be a part of that. We are going to do our WrestleMania breakdown, and we are going to play the WrestleMania pay-per-view prediction game.
God, I like surprises at Christmas, usually my birthday. When are we on?
This is going to be Sunday at 3 p.m.
I know it's Sunday. I know when WrestleMania.
Sunday at 3 p.m. at AudioWrestling.com is when Wrestling Weekly is going to break down WrestleMania for you guys. But like I said, lots of TNA news still to get to. And Irish Pete Doyle coming up. So you're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher here at Wrestling Weekly. We are going to take a quick break, so stick around.
We know, you hate this part, but Wrestling Weekly will return after this short break.
Why are you doing this to me?
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Hi, my name's Adam Nadelman, but I play the Phantom on the radio. I'm here to remind you that, oh, screw that, my book, Mysteries of Wrestling South, is available at finer bookstores everywhere. That stupid fake voice, I hate it. I wrote a book along with Sir Adam Kleinberg called Mysteries of Wrestling. It has the questions that you wanted answered. Why does Steve Austin hate Jeff Jarrett? Are referees really blind and stupid and dumb? Who is actually the toughest wrestler in the business outside of the ring? Hulk Hogan, The Rock, Stone Cold Steve Austin, Kamala. We get down and dirty with insider facts you've never read about anywhere else. So what are you waiting for? It makes a great stocking stuffer. You're too short, you buy three of them, you get tall, you just stand on them. Mysteries of Wrestling Solved by ECW Press, written by Sir Adam Kleinberg and Adam the Phantom Nadelman. Available everywhere. It's done. The plug is done. I'm done. I didn't sell it well enough. There's naked pictures of China in there. Okay? Thank you.
Photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
It's like a pulse that refuses to die. After 4 years, the chants are as loud as ever. These three letters changed history.
This ain't WCW!
Revolutionized sports entertainment.
This ain't Monday Night Raw!
And brought the wrestling world to its knees.
Oh my God!
Tonight, the revolution is reborn. Welcome to the underground. Welcome to the cutting edge. Welcome to the extreme.
This, my friend, is ECW!
Business Advances Web Hosting. With plans as low as $2.95 per month, you can get the professional web hosting solution that you need.
Visit www.businessadvances.com.
A total hosting solution at a fraction of the price.
Register today and we'll give you 100 free templates to get you started and even more freebies.
www.businessadvances.com. Simply business as usual.
Young and Les Thatcher back with you at Wrestling Weekly. On the line right now for Hot Topic, it's a former WWE creative member, Irish Pete Doyle. Pete, it's good to have you back on the show. It's been, I think, a month since you've been here.
Yeah, what's up with that?
3 weeks, a month, something close to that. But yeah, what have you been up to?
Just working on watching, trying to keep an eye on this upcoming pay-per-view this Sunday.
Yeah, that's going to be a good one. Like I said before the break, we're going to cover WrestleMania and, of course, play the pay-per-view prediction game on Sunday at 3 o'clock. Go to audiowrestling.com, or you can join us at wrestlingweekly.com. It will be airing on both.
Oh, wow. I'll be listening to that.
It's going to be cool.
And now, don't forget, he's
3 o'clock Eastern Standard Time, Pete. Stop everything you're doing.
4 o'clock Eastern Time.
I thought we were on 3 o'clock Eastern.
4 o'clock Eastern.
Okay, you said 3 o'clock earlier.
Did I get my time zones mixed up because I'm right on the Eastern Central border?
All right, whatever. Anyway, drop everything you're doing on Sunday, Pete, and check us out.
Hope absolutely. Unless we should make some sort of bet as to who's going to win the WrestleMania thing. Make it a little more interesting.
Who's going to win what?
Who's going to win the pay-per-view prediction game for WrestleMania?
What are we going to bet?
We should make
your hair?
We should, yeah.
I was going to say.
Let's do a hair bet.
Let's don't, okay? You know why?
Can anybody answer me why Brutus Beefcake is not booked for WrestleMania? I'm serious.
Why is Brutus Beefcake not booked for WrestleMania, Pete?
Well, I don't know. That's like, well, because I can tell you why Creative Team sucks, but you know, they don't understand this business, and they don't go back that far. But, I mean, would it make sense if the official barber of Donald Trump to come out of Vince Luz's?
Yeah, why
take?
Not?
The place will go nuts.
Who knows?
Well, you know what? I think it's pretty well, you know, it just by watching the progression of things, it's got to be pretty certain that it's going to be Vince shaving his head, I think.
Absolutely.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, I mean, but they're pushing it in the other direction so hard that they're almost telling you ahead of time. That's there again, the subtleties aren't there, and they should be.
You know, logic dictates to me that Trump should cut that thing off his head.
Yeah, but they're selling it as Vince because they know buys are going to be low, so they want people to buy just to see Vince get his haircut.
And you know, Trump deals more in the daily business world, too,
right?
Where him running around with a bald head would be a little more, you know, spectacular or noticeable than Vince in our environment, you know.
That's only because they've gotten so used to the animal that died on Trump's head in the 80s.
You've got, you know, once Vince got his head shaved, you've got, you know, another 3-4 weeks of constant comedy on Raw then, you know, so it's just basically it'll play on, so it makes sense, you know.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Let's get to the hot topic this week, and let me read this. This is coming off WrestleView.com. The Pro Wrestling Torch is reporting that the general feeling among wrestlers is that Samoa Joe was asked to put over Tomko and Christian Cage as punishment for his comment he used at the Ring of Honor show where he, quote, tripped over bad booking. When Joe was confronted about the line, he told Dixie Carter that he was simply cutting a wrestling promo, and he didn't even have TNA on his mind when he made the comment. However, TNA's creative team wasn't buying that excuse, and he was then booked to lose to Tomko and Christian Cage. While many see this as the situation that went down, Joe apparently isn't showing he's upset over the recent losses in the locker room. One TNA wrestler described Joe as having a I-don't-care attitude, I'm paraphrasing, regarding his TNA push, and if it'll continue or stall some more. Like, you know, he just has this attitude. Whatever happens, happens. The approach isn't just limited to Joe and TNA, as many of the younger wrestlers, more specifically in the X Division, share his sentiment because they don't feel that the current creative team is ever going to utilize them the right way.
Go with it, Pete.
Pete, your thoughts.
Okay, well, you know, with Samoa Joe, you know, you get what you get with Samoa Joe. He's a loose cannon, and I don't mean that in a bad way. Joe does what he feels is best, and I believe he does have a passion for his business. I've known Joe for years. Going back to 98, 99, out here in California, but you know, he you know has done things even in UPW that you know was frowned upon, and you know I think he just jumps the gun on certain things, but you're in a company that's pretty new, and a lot of young guys in there, a lot of pressure on them to make this company succeed, and you have a booking team that I don't think is the right booking team for a company like you have with TNA. You know, I don't think Vince Russo should be there. You know, he is not. You need to go back to the basics of wrestling with a new company, and they're trying to do too much too quick, I think. And when you have a creative team that is comprised of people from past generations who really, really understand the business and what is needed to make a promotion work. And you have in that creative team also people from this era who are more cutting edge and want to go more the entertainment route. You're going to have some of the wrestlers being told one thing by one guy on the creative team and being told another thing Well, I know the guy in the creative team. And the younger guys don't know how to deal with that, where some of the more experienced and older guys, I don't mean that in a bad way, know how to mesh both ideas together and make it work in the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But you have younger guys like Joe and some of the guys in the X Division who may get frustrated so easily because they're expecting to be on top of this business quicker than some of the other guys because they see what's going on in WWE. And, you know, then they start speaking their mind once they get in front of a microphone because then they do feel like a superstar. And they're like, oh, yeah, see, I'm getting interviews now, and, you know, I'm going to say whatever I want to say, you know, and they can't touch me. And some guys like Joe kind of have that attitude, and, you know, it doesn't behoove them sometimes, and as you can see, it doesn't work out. But I also think that some of the wrestlers, especially in a new company like this, have too much freedom to speak, and, you know, they need to go back to where, you know, kayfabe has always been around, you know, and they need to go back to that. And I think the whole industry needs to go back to that. I think the industry as a whole would do so much better if they, you know, didn't talk about the creative team all the time, didn't talk about who's writing what and you know, what's going on backstage. And I think that's what's kind of hurting this business. And once they see some guys do it, then, you know, everybody wants to do it. And then they say the wrong things, and then you have this kind of situation, you know.
Now,
any of that makes sense?
Les, what do you think about that statement that the wrestlers and the storyline shouldn't involve mentions of the creative team?
Oh, well, you know, I think, again, like I said earlier, before Pete joined us, is that the negative things that I say are said from an insider's perspective. And if that makes me sound like an elitist, then so be it. Because, again, it's the example I'll use here is I played a couple years of high school basketball, but I can't sit down with Larry Bird and discuss the NBA at his level, and if I thought
exactly.
I could, I'd be an idiot. But what
exactly.
I should do is if Larry has an opinion, I should think it's far more valid than my own. But that being said, in this, you know, it's a job. It's a business. And like I said earlier, there are guys in TNA, there are guys in WWE that don't agree with what's going on, but we're mercenaries, we're paid hired guns, we're all prostitutes, matter of establishing price, call it whatever you like, we're paid to do a job. It's just like if you work at the Ford transmission plant, you're paid to make Ford transmissions. You may not like their transmission or the way it's bolted together, but that's where your paycheck's coming from. Now, whatever Joe meant by tripping over bad booking, I would agree with him.
Yeah,
he's been misused. A lot of guys there, and here we go again. Les is knocking TNA. There's a lot of great talent there. It's just not being utilized properly. Joe came in, and I think a part of the talking about de-emphasizing him, they have basically made somebody that was special just another one of the boys.
Mm-hmm.
And I agree, you know. But I see where Pete's coming from. I think, well, you know, certain things. Now, let me say this. If I were working for any of these companies, there would be certain things that would be taboo for me to say here, whether I believed them or didn't believe them, right?
Right, right.
Mm-hmm. I would tell you there is, now, where some guys would give you the company line, if I was in agreeance, I'd be more apt to tell you no comment, right? Or I'd rather not talk about that because, unlike Pinocchio, I wouldn't want my nose to stick through the phone and pop you in the ear.
Especially these days where everything's archived.
Well, see, and that's the other thing, too. You know, back during my era, the 60s and the 70s, there were 30 promotions in the country. So I could afford to tick off a couple promoters and still have plenty of places to work. Where today, the guys don't have that option. And like it or don't like it, they've got to deal with it, you know. And that's a case, too. But I think in this particular instance, it's like my mother would say, you're cutting your nose off to spite your face. Because here's a guy who a lot of the Internet people, a lot of the independent people who bought the Ring of Honor tapes were into Joe Strong when he came into the company. And, well, you heard me say, I don't know if Pete was on any of the times we talked about this, but to me, we are just about to get into April, and this would be about the time I would probably have Angle and Joe having their first match.
Mm-hmm.
But they rushed it. You know, and I think that took some of the steam off too, and it's just now he's part of a tag team basically, right? He's part of a faction,
right?
And, you know, Michaels and Helmsley can get away with that because of their track record and because of their background. Flair, I mean, faction or no faction, and I said during that whole thing, you know, I don't care who walks down the ramp first, Flair's still the man. But, you know, Joe is young, and that has to be established. Now, I'm like Pete. I love Joe to death as a person, and I think he's, and you've heard me say this on this show, I think there's he is one of the most mature young minds in the industry. Mm-hmm. I mean, he gets it, man, and he's a couple years ahead of his own age in terms of, you know, the time he spent and his, what am I trying to say, his knowledge is surpasses the years he's been in the business.
He's picked it up that much faster than everybody else.
Yeah. He gets it. He's got a head for the business. And you know what? Okay, Joe said something negative. If I were the one of the writers, the boss or whatever, you know what? Short of calling my mother a hooker or divulging my sex practices if they were wrong, I could, you know, I'm not going to cut my nose off to spite my face. I'm going to still use the guy the way for the reason I hired him. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that's just silly on their part. But, you know,
yeah, I think it's wrong to push somebody to de-push somebody just for a comment like that. I mean, that's really somebody trying to show they have some stroke around there.
Yeah.
And it's kind of detrimental too because a lot more people know that he made that comment now than knew before.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's like Kip James. I started to say Billy Gunn. Billy Gunn's dead. Kip James that made a statement on our show. That he made another show that he said, you've seen what X Division match, you've seen them all.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? There were times that I would tend to agree with him. But the point is, it's his opinion.
Right.
And I think unless I've opened my door and find out somebody's moved my house, this is America, is it not?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so I mean, but see, instead of using that, instead of just sitting and pouting, he said something bad about our company and we pay him, utilize it to some degree if you are creative, right? Put him in there and
sit him down and talk to him, say what your problem is, you know?
Yeah, well, you know, you can turn things that you see as a disadvantage sometimes to your advantage. If you utilize them instead of just saying, well, somebody says something negative about it, you know, and here we go back to the whole thing where, yes, Les says negative, you know, but to me, if I bring anything to this show at all, it's from an insider's standpoint. So I can say, gee, that was really a cool match, or I saw Cold Scorpio do a 450 splash on OVW Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know what? So did a lot of people. But that's, you know, so I'm pointing out things from an insider's view. Pete is pointing out something from a writer's standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
That's if we have anything unique to bring to the table, that would be it, I think. Opposed to saying, don't, you know, say, well, if you can't say something nice, don't say anything at all, then, hell, we might as well get off this show.
Right.
it's going to be pretty bland and boring. I mean, but that's... Stop and think, in this day and age, how many you go to a newsstand, how many magazines are us, we, they, inside, you know what I'm saying? It's all about paparazzi shooting Britney Spears with no panties on. It's, I mean, my God, that's the whole entertainment and pro sports is subjected to that across the board. We want to be a part of mainstream, and yet we want to stay away from mainstream. Which is it? You can't have it both ways.
Mm-hmm.
Am I making sense? Pete asked if he was, definitely. But am I?
Yeah.
Definitely. You know? I totally agree. I mean, I mean, you have, like, you know, you have two different types of eras trying to accomplish one goal, you know, and it's not making sense, you know, and I think frustrates the younger guys because they don't get the business.
Yeah.
Well, I agree. Joe does get the business. He does understand it, and maybe he feels he should be somewhere else at this point. And you know, he wanted to speak his mind on that. You know, because I do believe he should be somewhere else at this point. You know, I do believe he should be in WWE or, you know, New Japan as one of the big guns there, you know. And then I think maybe he's also venting a little bit of frustration to let WWE know, hey, I'm ready. You know, anytime you guys want me, I'm here.
Right.
That's
well,
a lot
know,
of.
I think the only thing that kept, you know, my generation from saying some of these things publicly was that we, you know, we did. I mean, we lived kayfabe, right? I mean, we didn't open up to anybody. If I did your talk show in 1965 or 75, I did it in, if I had a character or, you know, whatever. But I did it seriously, right?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't talk about working with Samoa Joe on the upcoming pay-per-view. I talked about kicking his butt because he had done this or done that, you know, or I owed him this or owed him that. Because of a slight or because of something in a match or because he turned his back on me as my partner, whatever the deal. So it wasn't possible to do it then. Although, you know, it's like people say to me, well, are you critical of the business today? Man, I was critical of the business 40 years ago. I mean, when I say critical, I mean there were things that went on that I didn't like,
mm-hmm.
or things that I thought could be done better. But you couldn't. You could. We all talked about them in the dressing room or to certain people, but you didn't go out and do it publicly because there weren't magazines like I'm talking about for the movie industry or for baseball. I mean, it's like this whole. You've got a good example. You know, they talk about Babe Ruth being a womanizer and a drinker and this and that and the other thing. But you realize that era, that time in this world, that was all covered up because he was a baseball celebrity.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if the New York cops saw him drunk passed out on a street corner, it didn't make the papers the next day. They put him in the cruiser, took him home, and put him to bed.
Right.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a whole different time, and on one hand, this particular creative team or management team or a combination of both, who are if that is the case that they're, you know, this is a penalty to Joe for saying something. On one hand, they're trying to do away with the basics of our business by turning it into strictly comedic entertainment to a great degree, and on the other hand, they want it to be like it was 40 years ago, and at some point you've got to find a middle ground there.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, I agree. And
absolutely.
That's the thing, too, about the media and this business, you know. I totally agree. You know, Vince was the first guy to try and turn this into an entertainment genre where, you know, we get all the big press and all the big media, but with that comes the finger pointing when anything goes down, because, you know, the media is always ready to jump on, you know, professional wrestling and knock it. I mean, you just look at this whole steroid thing right now. There was a bunch of other sports stars' names on this list, yet ESPN are making fun of pro wrestling every night and not the baseball players or the football players, you know.
Right.
And that's the way this business has gone, you know, unfortunately, because you want to put yourself in the limelight, well, be ready to take the hits with it, you know.
Do you think that people subconsciously feel the same way that I feel, in that Vince is sort of ashamed of pro wrestling and wants to change it into something else?
Yeah,
totally.
And that subconscious is why they keep making cracks about wrestling all the time.
Yeah, well, you know, and Pete's work, you know what? Vince, his staff, and internally, the people that work are employed by that company are the only ones that refer to our business as sports entertainment.
Right.
Everybody else refers to it as exactly what it is, professional wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
But, and so he hasn't, that's one place where he hasn't conquered Mount Everest, because nobody calls it sports entertainment. And, you know, I mean, when was the last time anybody in a casual reference said, what are you going to do this week? Well, I'm going to buy the sports entertainment pay-per-view.
Right.
And there's a good chance that just an average person wouldn't even know what the hell you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's why Kevin Dunn, who's Vince's little puppy, you know, that's why he and Vince both want people like Jim Ross gone, because they personify pro wrestling.
Exactly.
That's why they want to get this young team like ESPN on there. Oh, look, we're sport and we're entertainment. You see this? We're as hip as anything else. Well, you can be hip and be pro wrestling at the same time. It was hip in the freaking 80s. It was hip in the late 90s. You kidding me?
Right.
You know, and it really does bug me that that he does feel the need to go out of the way to diminish the history of this business. Sure, he does the Hall of Fame, and they bring out these DVDs and all that, but that's just to make money. Does he really care about it? No.
No.
You right. kidding me?
No, it's just, you know, you can't really have it both ways. You got to find a middle ground with this whole thing. And again, the public in general understands that our business is a predetermined exhibition, and mm-hmm. which doesn't make it any easier to do, which still makes the guys great athletes or acrobats or use whatever, you know, adjectives you want. But it's also a time when there's more closet doors being kicked down and more things. Everybody's interested about what's going on internally. Now, I can go back to when I first bought People, when People magazine first came out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was unique because it wasn't seeing Joe Blow, the movie star, at a premiere. It was going to Joe's house.
Right.
And it was finding out that he did such as a hobby or, you know, so it was more intimate.
Step further, yeah.
Yeah. But it was the only magazine of its kind. Like I say, now go out to a big major, newsstand and see how many of those things are out there.
Mm.
You know, why are all these Inside Hollywood, blah, blah, all these magazine shows are on television for the same reason, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, exactly. That's why, you know, the reality shows like Hogan Knows Best and what have you.
Sure. What is this? I've seen it. I've caught bits and pieces of it, but this whole thing about if your wife or husband's cheating on you, right?
Mm-hmm.
They follow them around, and then they confront, they take you to confront your wife.
Cheaters. I love that show.
Yeah, okay, see? Now, and you get all tore up, and I think, my God, where's the privacy at all?
Right.
So, well, you're going to have another two or three shows like that, and then it gets boring.
Sure. And, mm-hmm.
Now people want to go in and actually see the actual act of them.
I read the sports fan, you know, and here in Cincinnati, there's a controversy, whether it's created by the media, but the public's reading about it, is Ken Griffey Jr. has been moved to right field. Was he pretending that the broken hand that he had in the off season wasn't healed, so he was trying to prevent that move to right field? And then finally the manager had to drop the hammer on it, and he's ended up putting him in right field anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But
I heard the reason he was put up there is because of bad booking.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
he tripped over some bad booking.
Yeah. See, but I mean that's the point. That's more important than people want to know, are the Reds going to win this year? But the big thing is, Griffey's going to play right field.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not he's going to be out there naked, right?
Yeah.
this and that. But, I mean, they're making more out of it than really I am. Or maybe, whether they are or they aren't, I don't really know. But, I mean, the point is, that's what the general public wants to know.
Right.
And so the fact, if Joe, you know, Doc, if we had a guest on this show and everything was... you work for ABC Wrestling. Yes, I love it. How is Joe Blow that owns ABC? I love him. I love the referees. I love the caterers. I love the ring crew. At some point, people are going to find something else to talk about or to listen to because we're going to bore them to death. Am I right?
Right.
Yeah, well, it goes back to being like a kid. You're told not to do something. You're going to try and do it because you're not supposed to.
Sure.
You know, you want to know what's going on backstage at wrestling because you're not supposed to know.
Exactly.
You know, and it's the same with anything else. You want to see the car crash, you know. It's not nice, but you want to know what's going on, even though you're not supposed to look at it.
Good way to put it, yeah. Pete, I want to ask you a couple quick questions before we get out of here. Some of the listeners in the chat room have some questions for you. They were wondering how many people are on a creative team at one point, at any given time?
Well, it was different when I was there because it was the one team for Raw and SmackDown. Now it's all split up, you know. And back then it was me, Kurtz, Pritchard, Hayes, Heyman, Stephanie, and an assistant. That's seven.
Seven.
Seven, and that's writing two shows. That probably sounds like a lot of people, but, you know, it's not because, I mean, you know, you'd get to the office on a Thursday morning to write Raw, you'd probably leave there, you know, close to midnight. And then you go back the next day to write SmackDown, same deal. And then on the plane on the way out to the show, Vince might just rip everything up and start from scratch again. So it's good to have, I mean, you know, it's great to have Pritchard and Hayes there, and, you know, sometimes Heyman, you know, because those guys know this business. They've been in it for so many years, you know, when this business was, you know, at its best, you know, and, mm-hmm. and they were part of that. And, you know, to have experienced guys like that on the creative team is what you need. But, you know, you keep having these younger guys, and you're going to get some of the crap that you see on TV right now.
Right. Another question from the chat room is, it's another creative team question, I kind of lost it now because the thing is scrolling up. But how many writers make up a team? Oh, were you given any wrestler as a project? Doink420 says, I heard some writers worked with a certain few wrestlers.
I wasn't, but I know, like, Gewurz, he was, like, he did all rock stuff, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Austin was given stuff. I did some stuff for him a few times, and Taker as well. But myself, I wasn't assigned to anybody. I mean, I think that's so too much, you know.
Yeah.
Or it's like even with Gewurz, I think to have one person assigned to Rock, even though his stuff was great with Rock, I mean, and that was, you know, due to the Rock and how he could present anything. You know, he could sing La Vida Loca and make it hilarious, you know.
right.
You know, he's just that kind of entertainer.
It was pretty easy.
So, yeah. So, you know, Gewurz got a lot of credit for that stuff where, you know, I mean, if you give that same material to somebody like, you know, Nick Dinsmore or something, it would, you know, be horrible. So it all depends on the person you have. But, you know, he wrote the stuff for Rock, and Rock made it good, and, you know, the rest of the team would just write stuff for whoever, like, you know.
Pete, let me ask you a question real quick. Did you ever watch Studio 60 on Sunset Strip?
No, sir.
Okay. That, I think, is a good cross, you know, I mean, it's a good, it's about a comedy show, right? But it's basically, the story is about the characters and the writers behind the scenes and the week leading up to the show. You know, and how some guys will run dry on ideas and other guys feed them, you know, blah, and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah. I got that sort of perspective from the Larry Sanders Show on HBO.
Yeah,
how they prepared
for
it. Mm-hmm.
But yeah. this was more, this would be more, I think, like the Studio 60 would be more apt to be more parallel to what wrestling would actually be, because a lot of times the comedians on there, it's kind of like Saturday Night Live. It's takeoff on Saturday Night Live, basically. But it was like they would come into the writers and give them this idea, right? Or the producer would come in and say, here's what we're looking for. And, you know, so it's just, I think, yeah, if you just took and turned it into wrestling and the characters and so forth and so on, it would be similar. It's not the same thing exactly, but it would be similar.
Uh-huh.
And you've got, well, you know, one thing I think, too, you said there's like seven people on a committee, and if you've got seven creative people, you're going to have a hell of a time getting, unless you're just basically, your minds are all channeled in the same direction, it's going to be tough to find the seven of you coming up with the same idea for one particular segment.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Right?
I mean, you'd have, you know, three guys with different ideas, and then you try and mesh them together, or, you know, one would be tossed out, or, you know, and
yeah,
two would be used or whatever, and, you know, yeah, it's all, you know, that's the whole idea of the more, sometimes it's good to have more people where you have all these different ideas, and, you know, you build off that, you build off each other, you know, and you try
right.
and grow as a team, you know, and grow the idea and make it work instead of having one person come up with everything like Russo was trying to do in TNA, and then you have shows that suck.
Right.
You know, I just got a brainstorm, Les.
Oh.
God,
that's scary.
Maybe this whole thing that we're talking about right now is how Ashley got her outfit. Seven guys had an idea, and each one just took one. They said, I get to pick the shirt, I get to pick the pants, I get to pick, you know, what she wears on her head, and they just meshed it together.
Well, they weren't very style or fashion conscious, or they weren't trying to project her sexuality.
I've figured out the mystery.
I just want to know who organized Candace Michelle's outfit last night. That was pretty good.
Who knows? Pete, I want to thank you for being on. You guys, are you still with UPW over there in California?
Yeah, whenever we do a show.
You guys are sort of on a hiatus right now?
Yeah, you know, Bassman, Rick Bassman, you know, who's a good businessman. He's got so many projects going on that, you know, for him, and it makes a lot of sense. You know, it doesn't make sense to throw a lot of money into pro wrestling out here right now, because he wants to do big shows and make money. But, you know, these are small shows out here. You're only going to make, you know, $20 or anything. It's not worth his while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he's not one of these guys who wants to start a promotion and just do wrestling for wrestling. You know, I don't think he has that passion anymore just for the business.
Right.
He's more into a business mind now and wants to do things that are going to make him lots of money, which, you know, you can't blame him. Why not?
Right.
So he's concentrating more on the MMA with Valor fighting and getting guys booked at certain places, which is where he's always made his money, like getting people like John Cena and Lisa Marie and, you know, a lot of guys signed to WWE, you know?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Irish Pete, I want to thank you for being on. We'll see you again in a few weeks for Hot Topic. And, of course, it's always great having you on the show. You bring a lot of knowledge.
Pete, what'd you do St. Patty's Day?
Oh, yeah.
I worked.
Did you really?
I worked 20 hours. You know, I manage an Irish bar in Fullerton, California, and I worked from 7 a.m. to 3 a.m. the next morning.
All right. Well, then you had a good time at the job, though.
Yeah, a lot of drunk people, so it was pretty funny. It's always good to be sober and watching these idiots, you know, stumble around.
I know what that's like.
Always a pleasure, Pete. Thanks for having
me. Hey, I just want to say it's my pleasure, and, you know, it's always great to talk to you guys, and thanks for having me on again.
All right, man. We'll see you soon, Pete.
Take care,
guys. Irish Pete Doyle, guys, former WWE creative member. Les, I left a little bit of time here. There was some quick TNA news to get to.
Okay.
Couple rumors going around. According to the reports, the wrestlers on the TNA roster don't have a lot of faith in Christian Cage as the world champion. The widespread feeling is that he's very entertaining on the mic, but his value drops the moment he enters the ring. While most, if not everyone, agreed that his match with Samoa Joe at Destination X was good, most give the credit to Joe and feel they need to see Christian rise to the occasion, so to speak, with another performer before they give him any credit.
You know, no disrespect to Jay or Christian, because he works his butt off. But everybody, and I've said this before, everybody's not made to be world champion,
mm-hmm.
and that's not. I don't mean that in a disrespectful way to anybody. You know what? I shouldn't say that because briefly I was a NWA World Tag Team Champion, but as a single, it was, you know, at age 19 when I got in the business, that was an aspiration. But but as I grew and matured into business, I realized that wasn't my lot, you know, whether I wanted it. I mean, it was a cool idea, but I also realized that wasn't who I was in terms of the business.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't mean that in a disrespectful way, but yeah, I wouldn't have put the strap on Christian the second time. I just wouldn't have. There's a lot of good talent there. It's just, and I'm not down on the listen, I've got personal friends here. Terry Taylor's been a friend of mine for years and years. I've known BG James since he was in diapers. Jerry Lynn is an old friend. Cornette, Mike Tenay. You know, just the overall way the talent's being utilized, I think it's not a plus to make the company move forward. You know, the whole thing with Jay Lethal and this old Randy said, I've known. I met Jay a couple years ago up in New England. He's a great young talent.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, the fact that they're making him into a like an Elvis impersonator doesn't do anything for his credibility or to actually get him over as a wrestling talent. And it comes down to this, you know, when the bell rings, that's what's important. And you know, it's like with Eric Young. Eric was on the show. Seems like a nice young man.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's funny. I think they utilize too. They build too much around it because, you know, Richard Pryor to me was one of the great comics of all time. Robin Williams, who's currently still alive. But if he was my next door neighbor, Robin wouldn't be as funny if I talked to him every day for lengthy periods of time as he is when I see him for a 45-minute stint on TV, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And if you're going to make Eric into a sympathetic doofus, then he doesn't win. But I mean, the whole thing with Rude's been mishandled, I think.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about the company. There are some good matches. It's just the way it's the manipulation that's not proper. Right. It's not being done properly. I want to see them do well. Like I say, man, I want to see the business prosper. And I think the more companies out there, well, you know, it's like the MMA thing now. They've got the International Fight League. They've got the Bodog. They've got UFC, the Pride. And they're all pushing now to get, you know, I can turn on my network here and watch International Fight League. Bodog pops up on, or that's on, you know, different. I mean, it's just, that's great for the fighters.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and the more, but to be at some point, my sincere belief is that Panda, the unless it comes down to this, that what they would be paying Uncle Sam, they can utilize on TNA, but they've cut back on on where the guys are staying, on they don't pay for the rental cars. This thing. And you got to realize these guys aren't making huge. Well, I mean, there's a few guys that are making some serious money, but for the most part, these guys aren't making huge money. How long is that going to go on? If they get to, they've gotten on a better network, they've gotten a better time slot, and the pay-per-views are not picking up.
Right.
Now you can blame that on me being negative about it if you want.
It's all Thatcher's fault.
Yeah, it's my fault.
If it wasn't for Thatcher, we'd be number one.
If they I don't want to see them on Monday night because they're not ready for that. They're not geared for that. They can't compete. Secondly, if they get 2 hours and then the pay-per-views don't work up, don't get better, you got to realize now they're also, as production time has doubled.
Right.
And they're having to spend more money on production and so forth and so on. If it doesn't, now they're starting to run house shows. Okay, but they're not going in and do 16,000 people or 10,000 people, although I hope they do, you know.
Mm.
So it's, I don't know. I think a lot of guys there are disenchanted, call it what you like.
Mm-hmm.
And I would not disagree with that. I just think it's like, you know what, Doc, I can give you the best Grand National stock car that money can buy. But if you don't have a pit crew that's adequate, if your head mechanic, your tuner is not adequate, and your driver, you're not going to win any races.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't mean the car is not capable of winning.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Well said. Well said. I've got. I wanted to get into this. Let's try to take 10 minutes and answer some of this stuff. I've got one of these. I guess forwards on MySpace, and this one was about Greenhornology 101 is basically what they're calling it. If you want to be a wrestler, if you're very new into the business, these are some rules that they put down together. And I wanted to get your opinion on a couple of these.
Who put these rules down?
It does not have an author.
Okay.
And so basically what I want to do is run these by you and see, you know, what's true, what's false, and things like that. And I want to carry this over to the show, our special show on Sunday at audiowrestling.com, to get into some more of this, because it's really long. But I just want to do a couple quick things on it right now. And today it says, when you enter wrestling, you're going to be abused. You're going to be verbally run down, physically worked like a dog, and perhaps hazed in ways that you'd expect an Iraqi prisoner to be. Deal with it, accept it, and don't give up. It won't go on forever. They're just seeing how much crap you can take to see if they can take your non-refundable deposit. Fight through it, and things will get better.
What is this? I missed the part about non-refundable deposit. What was that again?
For paying for training.
Oh, okay. Well, first of all, there are a lot of bogus training camps out there.
Mm-hmm.
I will, and I don't have it right in front of me, but our professional wrestlers instructional workout guide, which Harley Steamer and I and Alex Marvez did, we have legitimate schools listed in there.
Mm-hmm. Right? A whole page full of them.
Yes, you are. Well, you know what? You are going to be pushed, hazed. I don't know about that necessarily. Abused. You know what? Have you ever been to a pro football training camp or a college? It's funny. I know Chad Collier told me one time. He said he was laughing. He said, you know, a lot of guys think you're a taskmaster, He said, but you know, my college coach was a lot tougher than you are. Well, Shannon Moore told you, right, that Sarge at the old power plant made me look like a maiden aunt.
Right.
You know, you push, you know what, this is a pressure business. And you push buttons to see if somebody's going to stand up under that pressure. It is not a cakewalk. Yes, you have to love it to do it and do it well. I give you Brock Lesnar, who's a hell of an athlete, a tough son of a gun, and, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But he couldn't deal with the traveling and the lifestyle. So he didn't stick, and which is sad for him and for WWE because they could sure use him. But, yeah, I mean, you know, don't if you don't take it seriously, don't do it.
Right.
That would be my, you know, and I don't know what people, you know, you there's the old saying, you can't buy a Cadillac for the price of Chevrolet. If somebody offers you training for $150, put your money in your pocket and run like hell. No, I was getting $3,000 for 6 months when I sold my company, and I wasn't bashful about charging that. But then you were going to get something for sure too. I had even if I didn't have a contract at the time with WWE, when there was I have connections in terms of that if I need somebody to get looked at, they could get looked at. Everybody doesn't have that connection.
Right.
Be sure when you spend your money on a school, find out some of the people that have been there and have they gone on somewhere else. I am proud to say that people like Chris Benoit, Chris Jericho, Tom Pritchard, Derek Nykerk, who is in Deep South now, who is one of the mask security guys for Heyman. Derek had a tryout in Stanford, and Tom gave him my card and said, "Here, go get this man to teach you the basics and come back and see me."
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, do I push my people? Yes. It's a physical business. You need cardio. You need to be in ring shape. You need to look good. And those of us who have paid that price understand what it takes to get where you're going.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we're going to give you, and we're going to push you to get there. I look at it, I can't speak for everybody else, but to me, if you're going to train under me, then I look at it, I'm the artist, you're the canvas. And I don't want to scribble on that canvas with Crayolas. I want to paint a pretty picture, because when you go out someplace, guess what? Somebody's going to say, who trained you? And you're going to say, Les Thatcher.
Right.
The funny thing is, some people that have left my camp, some people think that I'm the meanest SOB that ever walked the face of the earth, and I've pushed them beyond. But the minute somebody asks who trains them, they're willing to use my name.
Yeah.
because I'm proud to say that there have been veterans who said, well, you know, in fact, one kid said to Kevin Sullivan when he was booking WCW, well, I can give you a tape. Who trained you? Les Thatcher. Well, I don't need a tape then.
Right.
You know, which I'm proud that he said that, but I would have said, give me a tape, because, you know, there again, you could be the greatest car builder in the world. That don't mean it's the best car.
Mm-hmm.
Right? There could be flaws in it. It's not necessarily who trained you, because if you don't have the talent for this business, you don't have it.
Right.
But, yes, you're going to be pushed. You're going to sweat. You're going to maybe throw up. You're going to ache and hurt because you've never done, I don't give a damn what you've done. You haven't done this.
Right.
And so you're going to pay a price. If you want this, you're going to pay a price for it physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially.
Now, here's the next part, and I'm just going to ask you to say true or false, because I'm pretty sure the answer, it actually sounds like you wrote this.
Okay.
You also, in training, of course, you also need to realize that you are in training. You're not a wrestler. You have no gimmick. You have no angles. Don't try to start any. You'll likely be called upon to work the ring crew and security at the promotion attached to the school. Do so. You will not be paid. You will, however, likely be ribbed. Laugh along, open your ears, and listen to any advice offered. Did I mention that you're not a wrestler? Because you aren't. Stop pretending you are. Do not focus on learning any advanced move. Focus on psychology, chain wrestling, and in-ring charisma. Any idiot can do a moonsault, and I'm not exaggerating. Any idiot can do a moonsault. You'll have plenty of chances to learn a space-flying tiger drop or a fisherman's buster after training. Spot machines have short, unsuccessful careers on the whole, but someone who can tell a story is what the big leagues are looking for.
I did write that.
I know, it sounds like you wrote this.
Let me tell you about ribbing. Nigel McGuinness sold gimmicks, and he had a T-shirt made that said the gimmick man or the gimmick table or something like that. I mean, yeah. And you know what? Yeah, you're going to. Everybody's ribbed in the business, for God's sakes. But, yeah, you're not a wrestler. I go back to the MTV, and everybody's, you're the guy I told the guy, you're not a wrestler until I tell you you are. You're right. You're not.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the sad thing is some young guys just want to be able to go to a bar and tell some girl, I'm a professional wrestler.
Mm-hmm.
You know, no, you're not. You're a trainee. And you're right. Forget all the goofy gimmicks and this and that and the other thing, because it doesn't matter, you know, until you've got that foundation under you. So whoever wrote that, I like you. You're cool.
Here's the next one. Show up at every class, early if possible. Fight your way through any tough drill they give you and do your best. Here's where I'm curious about. If someone in your class sucks, then help them. If they're slow, run with them on the long-distance jogs. Support them, befriend them. You'll need them later on. The one exception to this is if they break the rules, no show classes, no show the dues-paying sessions at shows without a reasonable explanation, act like a mark, and have generally attracted the ire of the promotion, who is beholden to train them, even if they don't want to. In this case, help along the inevitable by getting mad at them when they mess up, put some extra stank on your chops, open your hand rather than cup, and generally give them the kayfabe when it's time for the students to go to the bar.
Yeah, you know what? There's a lot of truth to that. There is. There should be a camaraderie, but yes, you are there. You are there to train.
Mm-hmm.
You are there to learn. And you know, let me say this. If you are giving me 100% and I know that, then it doesn't matter that you're not the next Chris Benoit. Just as long as you are trying your best, I'm going to try my best too.
Mm-hmm.
Now, at some point, we're going to hit a stalemate or plateau where all of us are only born with so much God-given talent, right? And we have to try to develop that. But then at some point, you know, it's like a guy who may have been an outstanding college football player gets drafted by the NFL here in a couple weeks. You'll never hear from him again because he hit his peak in college. So, you know, you may not be the next star. But, yes, please, by all means, give it everything you've got.
Mm-hmm.
And if the trainer's smart, he's going to understand that. He's going to help you. Now, if you come in telling me, well, I'm going to be a great wrestler because I watch tapes. And, of course, you won't have to teach me much because I'm already pretty smart. You and I have got a problem to start with.
Mm-hmm.
You know? But, yeah, there's nothing wrong. Befriend everybody, you know. But the troublemakers you want to steer clear of because they're going to be in trouble.
Right.
You know, that's a fact. Yeah, yeah. I don't know who wrote all this, but they're very insightful.
Okay, that's part one of our little adventure into this. On Sunday, we're going to talk about after training, the early days. Also, in the future, on the show, probably next week, next Tuesday, we're going to talk about drugs and alcohol. And then there's also interpromotional rivalry, kayfabe, public conduct, and general conduct. So we're going to cover all of that in the next couple, 2 or 3 weeks here on Wrestling Weekly, and we're going to get Les's opinions on these things. Because like I said, this is a very long email, but it's interesting. And I think a lot of the people that listen to Wrestling Weekly, this particular show, do want to be wrestlers, and they want to hear from somebody who's been in the business, and this is why they listen to this particular show. So I think this is a good thing to get into these.
Well,
sort
you know,
of
it's interesting. Like I say, I don't know who wrote it, but whoever it is insightful or knew someone that was extremely insightful, and just listen to what they had to say. But yeah, there's a lot of credence, a lot of validity to what you've read me.
Excellent. So we'll continue this on of course Sunday at audiowrestling.com at 4 p.m. Eastern. That's WrestleMania Day, guys. Special edition of Wrestling Weekly. You can check it out at audiowrestling.com. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, our featured guest is going to be here. We've got Sean Oliver from kayfabecommentaries.com, and he's going to be talking about this new innovation in commentary for matches. So stick around. You're listening to Doc Young and Les Thatcher. This is Wrestling Weekly, guys, and we're going to be right back after this.
Wrestling Weekly will return to all the fun right after this.
What are you doing? You having fun?
I'm having a blast.
So many of these wrestling websites nowadays strongly promote their pay-per-view play-by-plays as if they were something unbelievably special. The problem is that they are not special. In fact, they're all the same. Nothing separates one from the other, and if you've seen one, you've seen them all. However, there is one site that has original play-by-play that's different from all the rest. 4WWrestling.com, a proud supporter of the Voice of Wrestling radio show, invites you to witness the ultimate play-by-play experience, live during every WWE pay-per-view. And if you're asking what makes them so different, well, 4W-Wrestling.com is the only site to put up pictures from the actual pay-per-view as it happens. You see what's taking place on the pay-per-view instead of just reading about it. If you're not buying a pay-per-view, but you're looking for the next best thing, 4W-Wrestling.com. Online wrestling evolved.
Hey, do you find that wrestling is more to you than just a passing fancy? Do you need to know more about your favorite wrestler? Do you absolutely have to know all about their history? You, my friend, aren't just passionate. You're obsessed.
Geez, you know, that information might have been a little more useful to me yesterday.
We have a fix for that.
Throw me a frickin' bone here. Need the info.
Check out obsessedwithwrestling.com. All the info you need to know about everyone. Located at www.obsessedwithwrestling.com. Histories, title info, bios, aliases, real names.
Once again, things that could have been brought to my attention yesterday!
If wrestling isn't just a passion, but an obsession, check out www.obsessedwithwrestling.com today.
Wrestling-radio.com, the internet's newest wrestling radio promotion. We offer a direct link to your wrestling radio website, a personal profile, and a control panel to maintain your own shows. And it's all free. That's right, 100% free. Wrestling-radio.com promotes some of the best online wrestling radio shows today, such as The Main Event with Chris, Woody and Will, The Irish Whip with Big Joe and JP, The Yard with Moondog, Wrestling Weekly with Doc Young and the legendary Les Thatcher, plus many more. So what are you waiting for? Sign up today and watch your show grow. For more information, log on to www.wrestling-radio.com today.
He considers himself God's gift to wrestling, and millions of his faithful agree. With nearly 4 hours of footage and exclusive commentary and matches, this DVD chronicles Daniel's rise from Chicago's Windy City Wrestling to the Asylum in Nashville, and finally to the top of TNA. TNA Home Video presents Heaven Sent, Hell Bound, the best of Christopher Daniels. Available at most retailers and TNAWrestling.com.
There's the latest news and information on total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com. Log on right now and get your fix of all things TNA Wrestling. Event photos, streaming video, and all of the backstage gossip is just one click away. Plus, right now, you can find special savings in our merchandise area with a complete line of DVDs featuring Nevermore, The Best of Raven, Enigma, The Best of Jeff Hardy, and Phenomenal, The Best of AJ Styles. Plus, all of our monthly pay-per-view events on DVD as well. And don't forget to check out photos of our lovely ladies in the knockout section. It's your online home for total non-stop action wrestling. It's TNAWrestling.com. TNAWrestling.com.
Young and Les Thatcher. Wrestling Weekly, guys. Sean Oliver is on the line right now. He's our featured guest this week. And he is the owner of KayfabeCommentaries.com, which is, well, I'll let you explain it, Sean.
Well, this let me just say, this is the last segment, right? So this gives me main event status with you guys.
You
now,
are
right?
The main event tonight.
Yeah, good. I was afraid you're going to have me jerking the curtain tonight. what is a kayfabe commentary? Well, that's a fine question. We've all bought DVDs of movies and been offered alternate commentary tracks on those discs by the director or the principal actors in the film. So what if we took some wrestling matches that we all know from history and gave you alternate DVD audio tracks to those matches with the actual participants? So it's, I guess, the closest thing you could get to some time travel, going back into the ring with somebody. We've watched the matches and we've heard third-person commentary of it, but to hear someone say, you know, I just dropped my blade right there and couldn't get to it, so the ref kicked it over to me, or et cetera, would add, I thought, and my partner thought, a very interesting dimension to the matches that we've seen time and time again. Well, now there's a variation on them.
I think that's pretty cool.
I told Doc, I said, you know, when I listened, I thought, you know, I consider myself to have a little creative streak in me, and I'm always looking at, for something different than Edge. But when this never crossed my mind, and then when I listened to the CD you sent me, I thought, yeah, I mean, it really makes sense. And I don't have the videos to sync with it, but just knowing the guys that are on there, it was quite fascinating for me.
Honest to God, I learned, and I had seen all of these matches before, for the most part, because they're all commercially available. That's another element that we really have to abide by, because we want the listener. I mean, they certainly work on their own, as you can attest to, but we want the listener to be able to pop in the DVD and listen to this with the DVD. So they're all commercially available out there, and we list on the website where you can get the actual video for which matches. But I learned something, at least one thing, with every one of the commentaries we conducted. From the most mundane and maybe obvious that I had never noticed before, to funny little sidebars like Honky Tonk talking about how in his WrestleMania 4 match with Brutus the Barber, after he was put to sleep, the end spot was going to be for Sherry to come in the ring and wake him up after the sleeper by pouring a bucket of water on him. Mm-hmm. Well, somebody played a rib on him and filled the bucket with ice, so he got pelted with ice cubes in his teeth and his eyeballs.
Oh, my God.
So just goofy things like that you never, ever would have known unless you were privy, even if you were privy to inside information, you would have probably had to be there in the ring or work in the match to find those things out. And that's what intrigued me. As a mark from way back, I'm 34, so I grew up in the 70s and 80s era of wrestling, and fortunately for me. And so this is stuff that I would have salivated over if somebody else had released this.
You know, I noticed with Greg Valentine, he mentioned his robes made by Olivia Walker.
Yeah.
Johnny was on our show a few weeks back from his home in Hawaii, and I knew my wife and I socialized with he and Olivia, too. So, and I had told Doc, I said, well, she was such a great seamstress. I mean, she was tremendous. But then I was around, I was in Charlotte when Greg came in to team up with Flair. And so, I've been around Greg for years, and the deal with his dad, I mentioned you before we went on the air, Bill Frazier. My God, I haven't seen Bill in years. He lives over here in Indiana, but that match had to come from the Barnett Doyle era.
You know, it was actually a Muchnick thing. It was a St. Louis thing.
Well, okay, yeah, well that would, yeah, because some of us went over to St. Louis. Was it at the Chase?
Yes, it was back when it was still the Chase Park, 1963.
Okay, it was Chase, the ballroom at that.
Yes.
The highfalutin. I'll tell you, when I first went in there, and real quickly, and we'll move on, the big crystal chandeliers, the waiters in tuxedos, the cool thing about wrestling in St. Louis around 63, in fact, I was in and out of there a few times during that same year, was that wrestling was so red hot in St. Louis. The Chase Hotel was the hotel in St. Louis, and people
on their way to other social functions in the city would come to the wrestling tapings, and they served cocktails.
It was high society.
Oh, yeah.
And one of the things that I think I even mentioned it in the commentary when we're doing the track is that the old cliche of the smoky armories, and I'm guilty of that myself as much as anybody else, that was not what wrestling at the Chase was. And even that entire territory, that was the hub. That was we're talking NWA days, and that was the hub. And I think Mushnick was present for, what was it, 15 years or something? President
of
the...
For almost as long as Sam was president of the Alliance anyway.
And it was... Yeah, that's what I'm saying. His duration as president. And that was the hub of wrestling.
Yeah.
In the U.S.
When Greg mentioned how he liked to be snug, actually today some of these kids are stiffer in boards because they're self-taught. They don't understand. I broke in 1960, to be able to be a loose worker was an art, to be able to convince the people that you were being, tough and actually weren't hurting each other. But I remember my first time I worked with his dad. Of course, I had bought tickets to see Johnny Valentine. Was here on Channel 9 in Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. And at the end of the match, I thought, my God, I've been in street fights that were easier than this. I was just a kid breaking in, and the booker, whose name was Les Ruffin, came and said, good job, kid. And I said, what did I do wrong? He said, what do you mean? I said, how did I make him mad? He said, what? I said, he beat the hell out of me. So that's just the way it works.
Yeah.
But Johnny expected the same thing from you.
The Valentine forearm.
It's two
generations of it.
Absolutely, yes. My sternum still quivers when I think about that.
And how frightening is it to watch video, compare Greg in the ring to Johnny? Is that just a trip?
Oh, yeah, it really is.
The physicality, everything, from the way he takes off his robe to kind of that methodical, plodding, circling style. I mean, it's just... He says on the track how his dad was his soul and his inspiration, I think was his quote, and it's very apparent.
Oh, I'm sure. Absolutely. I was in the Carolinas when Johnny came in, and it had been a tag team territory. Well, Greg mentions that, that the Carolinas were a tag team territory. I read that somewhere else in an interview. It wasn't on your CD. Mm-hmm. But anyway, when Johnny came in there and George Scott, the booker, switched it over to singles, and he actually made the statement to the crowd, I'm going to kill the territory and build it back. And he did. And Johnny was the heel foundation for that. And, it was just amazing to work with the man because it was all about psychology.
Yeah, yeah.
Totally. But, let me say to those listening or going to check this out later on the website, this is fascinating. Because you're getting an insight from, Greg, the one match is Greg and Savage at one of the WrestleManias. And Greg's not actually putting Randy over.
Not exactly.
and if you want to hear Honky Tonk spew some four-letter words.
Yeah, Honky's a character, but he's—I think he's a good-natured fella.
I've known Wayne for years and years.
And I tell you, we didn't have it available yet when I sent you guys your media samplers. But we our most recent series of commentaries was with Harley Race, and we have five of his matches available now at Kayfabe Commentaries. And then this Friday, we're actually going to release the next five matches. And just from a wrestling education standpoint,
right.
What I said to Harley before we started was, what I've got in mind and what I've always had in mind when we sit down to do these is make the listeners sit next to you on the couch at your house, put your feet up, watch some great matches, and have a couple of beers. And that's exactly what it feels like. But, I mean, Harley's knowledge of not just the history but the ring work.
Yes,
and the many different ways you could go with many different opponents, because as you know, Les, at the time, it was called in the ring.
Right. Well, Harley and I go back to 1963 when we were both kids, and I don't know if you know it, but he and I and Ricky Steamboat have a training manual out.
Oh, okay, right, yeah.
Yeah, and I've worked seminars with Harley and helped do training camps at his place and stuff. Yeah, plus, having worked with him in the ring, Harley was a master. There's no doubt about it.
He's such a legend, and you'll see on the commentary tracks if you hear them, he's so respectful still of the business and of just about everyone he's ever worked with.
Yeah.
And maybe if he didn't appreciate something someone did, he handles it like a pro. I mean, he was just phenomenal. Harley was just phenomenal.
Yeah, yeah. Harley was a great champion. There's no two ways about it.
So have you done a lot of stuff with wrestling before this Kayfabe Commentaries idea?
You know what? I'm just a mark with some time. I'm actually, by trade, a film and television actor, and I was a director for a while. I directed television commercials, and the past 16 years I've been in film and television, and you never forget your first love.
Mm-hmm.
And when my partner called me one afternoon in January and proposed this to me, I said, if you're serious, and we can go right now, I'll get on the phone and we're going to make this happen. And that's exactly how it happened. I didn't have too much time to think about it, which is sometimes a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
And so to answer your question, my experience in the wrestling business has been nil before this. But this is certainly exciting and a hell of a lot of fun. And we've got great stuff coming up, too. It's really been an education.
Is this the media sampler that you sent us, is this publicly available?
No, that was just for review from radio folk like yourselves and some of the newsletters.
Okay, so you've got Honky Tonk Man, you've got Greg Valentine, you've got Harley. Is there anybody else?
Yeah, we've got those three. We've got coming up. I guess I could give you this exclusive here. We got the Iron Sheik coming up.
Excellent.
Oh my God.
Okay, quick, both of you, give me one word. The first word that comes to mind, Iron Sheik. Go ahead.
Crazy.
Humble.
Stable.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, once you turn him on, you won't turn him off.
Yeah, I know. We'll see how that goes.
You have to get, if you're going to be using Iron Sheik to do commentary for his own matches, you have to do the B. Brian Blair.
That is the first one we'll record before he gets tired.
This is why I made him humble. Look.
Man, is that just all over the internet or what? That's unbelievable.
That's as much an inside internet joke as Chuck Norris jokes.
Yeah, that is funny. But rest assured, we will do the WrestleMania 3 B. Brian Blair match early on, like I said, before it gets started. Because there's an art to that, too, much like... staggering the matches on a card, putting the matches that the individual is going to do in the right order, because it's, you know, it could be a tiresome thing to have to talk for 3 and 4 hours about this stuff. So we'll definitely get that in there. We also, coming up, I can't give you a name, but I could tell you it's a WrestleMania 1 main eventer we're going to do soon. And the thing I'm really excited about is, now we're only 2 months old, you got to bear that in mind, too.
Right.
You give us a little bit of a newbie's break here. February 2nd, we went live. But if you want to compete with the big boys and you want to stay in the business, you got to do video, you know, eventually. I mean, this is a great niche, and we're going to continue to do this. But, but I wanted to do something different. Again, if we were going to move into DVD video, we've seen the shoot interviews before and all variations of the shoots, and they've been done with everybody in the business just about. So I said, if we're going to do this, we got to enter the market, the DVD video market, with something as revolutionary and different as the commentary track. So I can just tell you that it's going to be a real exciting project. There are not many people in the business who'd be able to be a part of this DVD series. Actually, Les, you would be one of them, so maybe we'll have to talk.
Well, you know what? You'll never find it. If you find any of my old stuff, I'll buy it, because I've told this on you. I lost every copy of the matches I had in a fire in 1982 in my apartment.
Oh, really? Wow.
And have never been able to replace them.
Well, this wouldn't even be commentaries on matches. This would be something completely different, very more interactive than the kind of what's become a stale, two-dimensional shoot interview style. More on that. If you guys will have me back in a few months, I'll break it on your show when we have our first one done.
We'd love to.
And it's going to be real hot.
Absolutely. Thanks. Sean Oliver, guys, kayfabecommentaries.com. Go to the website. Check it out. It's really cool stuff, especially if you like the sort of DVD commentary type things. Now, myself, when I get movies, especially something I've seen before, that's the first thing I go for, is I listen to the commentary. So I love this idea, and we wish you the best of luck with it, my friend.
Thank you very much. If I just for 1 second just want to say, one of the reasons I did this, and maybe for some of the younger fans out there that are buying the big WWE DVD releases of all the classic stuff, you're getting one side of the story in those documentaries, and it's very entertaining. But here, we can offer you the other side of the coin, if there is one, for any of these matches that do exist on widespread release. So it serves a purpose there, too.
Certainly, from the media sampler, it's interesting. And for me, being in the business for almost half a century, but still... I think the fans would get a lot out of this and see it from a totally different perspective.
Cool. Well, thanks, Les. Thanks, Doc.
Thank you, Sean. And we'll look forward to having you back and with the big announcement coming up in a couple months.
Super. Best of luck, guys.
All right. We'll talk to you then.
Thank you.
Take care.
Sean Oliver here at Wrestling Weekly. Guys, check out kayfabecommentaries.com for more information on this great product. Guys, we're going to get out of here right now. Of course, enjoy WrestleMania. Like I said, we're going to be back on Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern, a special show on audiowrestling.com. Check that show out. We're going to be, of course, running down WrestleMania. We're going to play the WrestleMania prediction game. And also, we're going to get some more into this So You Want to Be a Wrestler. That's what I want to call
it. Yeah, cool. Yeah, that's been interesting for me, too. Doc, yeah. It's been a good night, and who we got next week?
Kevin Kelly, former WWE commentator,
is going to be here.
He
worked with Dr. Tom and I in developmental and talent relations when I was with the company, and Double K will, good, looking forward to talking with him.
Absolutely. Guys, enjoy your weekend, enjoy WrestleMania. We'll see you again on Sunday, of course. Audio Wrestling.com. So check it out, a special Sunday show of Wrestling Weekly. We'll see you then.
Ain't no stopping me, no! Nothing more, nothing less. Wanna be known, want the respect. Throw me anything, I'll pass that test. Believing in yourself, man, changes everything. Yeah, I want it all, I'm taking the brass ring. Call me underdog, you can call me anything. I got a lot of blessings, that's what faith brings.
You can't rob with me,
no stop it.
You can't rob with me,
no stop it.
You can't rob with me,
good drop it.
Ain't no stopping me, no.
Wanna start something, nigga, head to start something. Anytime, any place, dog, it's nothing. I'm coming from the bottom on my way to the top. And if things get hard, I still won't stop. See, the ambition is what keeps me going. Faith and the blessings, what keeps me knowing. That I'll get it one day, man, you'll see. I'ma just be all the best I can be.